You know, when you first learn to drive a car and it's a standard car, you get jerky and jumpy and, you know, you're burning rubber behind you. I taught a girlfriend of mine to drive a car one time. It was a big muscle car. And she gave it a little too much gas and she laid rubber, little chops of rubber all the way down the road. So you might get a bit of that today. I don't know. So we might have a little stopping and starting. How many here like to receive gifts? We all like to receive gifts. Of course we do. Christians, Christmas, Easter, and birthdays, and they do make us feel special. But after you've had 40 or 50 of these special days, like birthdays, we sometimes say, oh no, not another one. But you have to put on your happy face and say, okay, I'll take what you're going to give me. And it's just part of growing. And growing up is these things. And gifts, too. You have to take the gifts. You have to take them. And so anyone been there when you're wondering, geez, I wish I didn't have another birthday. But you know, I look at Zena's mother, 95. That's pretty good. And I wonder what she's thinking. I was really thinking about that. 95, she's thinking, 95. That's a lot of birthdays. You know, I sometimes think that these things are more for kids than for adults. And sorry, but I think it's me. That's just me now, like some of these special occasions. Now, the gifts of God, these are the most exciting and desirable gifts that I think a person can receive. I really, really do. And I've realized that now. And when you share the gifts of God and the gifts that God has given you, now we're going somewhere. When you get to share what God has given you, and we are supposed to share gifts. That's what gifts are for. That's why we go get them and we, you know, get all excited. Oh, look what I found for Brian or Zena or whatever. You get so excited when you find a desirable gift. And now these are life-changing. And gifts will build the kingdom of God. And they'll put people in the pews. And it had nothing to do with you. Because these are gifts that God gave you. And you didn't do anything to even earn them. Because they were actual gifts. You know, here's your gift, Carly. Harold, this is your gift. You know, you can receive it. Or you cannot receive it. You were just on the receiving end of the gift. You never bought the gift. You never made the gift or thought of the gift. You just had to receive that gift. And it was for free. There was no strings attached to that gift. You just had to take it, and it's your gift. I got a lot of these little pages. It took me about, I don't know, hours and hours to do this, and we're probably going to go through this thing in about 15 minutes. Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. Like, he doesn't take them back. They're yours. And they are for you, and God specifically gave those gifts for you. You know, your personality was perhaps even created for these gifts. God does not want it back. You cannot, you can choose not to use it. And as many people do, they just don't use their gifts. But the thing is, you need to get it out, shine it up, and give it to someone else, and share what God has given to you. Hide it under a bushel? No. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And that's what we're supposed to do. And you know, that's so very true, because we are the light and the salt of the earth, and that's what God's word says. You know what? When I was in public school, I never passed writing one time. And I got 30 one time out of 50, and I thought, geez, I'm getting pretty good. I've gotten much better. But you are to use what God has given you, because people need to have what God has given you to share. Your job is very easy for you, and your gift will come naturally. And you will be very, very good at your job. And you will be good at your job. And you will enjoy what God has given you. It's really, really true. It's custom made for you. And you know, sometimes you get a gift and it's just what you wanted. And you get pretty excited about that, you know. I know little kids, they dream and they think about stuff. Oh, I want G.I. Joe. That's going back a ways, but... But, you know, they dream about that, and then they get it. I remember when I was in kindergarten, and I was so shy because of our life situation. And there was a board there, and it was about, 30 inches by 24 inches. And it was a landscaping scene, and they had little trees, and you could plug them in the little holes, and little buildings, and little cars, and little men and women, and it was the forerunner of a lot of games that they have today. I just wanted to play with that game so much. I just thought about it all the time. And then one day I looked up, and there it was, and nobody was playing with it. And I went over, and I got it, and I brought it over to my desk, and I started playing with it. And within 5 minutes, I thought, this is boring. You know, the anticipation of getting that gift is oftentimes more exciting than actually getting the gift. It just is. You just dream about it, and then when you get it, you go, ah, it's just, everybody's got one. I got one too. If you don't use what God has given you, then he might have to raise someone else to do your job, and you don't want the Lord to do that to you. If you don't know what your calling is, then you need to find out, because you really do rob yourself. You really rob yourself. The benefits of your calling are so exciting, you will wonder why you didn't open up your free gift before and ask God what it is. If you're not sure, you need to find out what your calling is. If you're not doing much in the things and the ways of the Lord, find out. I'm really, really serious. It is really exciting. I know sometimes just when you're in your groove and you're working for God, there's nothing more exciting than sharing the Lord and talking to somebody about the things of God. And you can just feel the presence of the Lord just settling over you and the whole situation. And it took a lot of work for God to line up that person just so you could even talk to them. And that's why he gave you that gift, so that you could enlarge the kingdom of God. Some people say, God never talks to me. Well, you're wrong. You just need to ask Pastor Brian or Pam or Zena or somebody just how to really tune in and listen to what God had to say. I started rewriting my little talk here yesterday, pretty early in the morning, and I came up with a rather negative thought, and so I wrote it down anyways. I'm a little bit of a rebel sometimes. But the wind blew it right off my lap. I had the window open. So I said to the Lord, don't you want me to share that? And it blew right off my lap the second time. And nothing had blown off my lap before. So don't think you can shut God out by closing the window, because that really doesn't work. So I said, okay, I get your point. So I got rid of that piece of paper. God will communicate with you. God really will communicate with you, and in a way that you can understand. You just have to talk with God and develop that communication and that relationship with God. You have to read your Bible, and you have to pray every day. Prayer is the most powerful weapon that we have. Prayer is absolutely amazing. I remember before any of Brian's family and the in-laws and the outlaws were ever saved, Zena's mom, Shirley, sent all her names with Rex Humbard, because she was watching him on TV before she went to work one morning, I guess. And he said he was going to Israel, and he was going to the Wailing Wall, and if you were concerned about anybody. So she sent all our names with Rex. And you know what? It didn't take all that long, and all of those kids and their husbands and their kids ended up in that little church in Sarnia. All six kids. Everybody. Well, Brian wasn't married yet, but like, it was really amazing. And that's just because somebody prayed. Like, prayer is a powerful weapon. It is the most powerful weapon. It is how we communicate with and talk to God. And I never forgot that. I remember her talking about that. Old Rex Humbard, he was quite a guy. I remember going through the TV when I was a kid and coming to Rex, and I don't want to listen to that guy. You just keep going. But that's just the way it was. Years ago, when I was living in Sarnia, I was a main contractor at the college in Sarnia. And we were doing a big project there, and I got most of the work. God just opened the door for me, and guy said to me, "How'd you get in there?" I said, "I don't know, I guess God did it for me." But I had all these jobs. Oftentimes, guys said, "How'd you get in there?" Because one guy said, "I've been trying to get in that place for years," and he just couldn't get in there. And, you know, that all happened after I got saved. After I came to know the Lord, God opened up all these awesome doors for me. So anyways, there was a contractor there, and he was doing the same thing that I was, and he didn't like me because I got most of the jobs. So he got lucky enough to get a little tidbit in there, and I know he was a little jealous. And so anyways, as I walked out of the room and the door started to close, it was a slow door closer, and he started cursing me. And he was up and down me. He was a French-Canadian guy, and boy, he was, and I knew a bunch of his brothers too, and they were pretty cool guys, but when they were mad at you, boy, oh boy, they really held a grudge against you. And so I said to myself, "I'm going to make that guy my friend." And I did. Now, it took me some time, and I had to go way out of my way to make that guy my friend. And they called him Goat. That was his nickname, was Goat. And after I got to know him, he was a pretty cool guy. But you know what? It was hard to break into that friendship. It was hard to break into that guy's little circle of friends, even. They just had their little circle, and they just didn't want anybody in. But, you know, I set my mind to it, and that's what we need to do when God gives us a project or somebody else that we need to work with, or if God sends somebody into our life. And if we don't have anybody to work with, if we ask the Lord, "Lord, send me along somebody so that I can work with them or minister to them or pray with them," God will send that person along. You don't have to ask too many times, and boom, there they are. And sometimes it's not always easy to get through to these people. God will send somebody along. All you need to do is ask them. Romans 8:28, "For we know all things that work together for good to those that love God and to those who are called according to his purposes." Now, one of Zena's gifts is she's a teacher. But we have the ministry of helps, and I am an encourager. And these are some of the gifts that God has given to us. And as an encourager, maybe sometimes I don't do very good. But, I mean, we always have our ups and our downs. And the Pam and Brian are pastors. And some people are administrators. And some people are evangelists. There's an evangelist sitting right there. Serious. You know, we all have our positions in God. And it's a good job. The fringe benefits are amazing. They really, really are. And as I'm getting a little older and a little closer to that, I'm looking forward to the fringe benefits. If it seems that there's nobody around, God will use you in any one of these gifts he has given to you, and both in men and women. And don't put limits on God or even on yourself. Sometimes you just need to open your mouth, and God will fill it when you go into a situation. Sometimes we get into situations and you go, "Oh, geez, what am I doing here?" And I've done that on the job lots of times, got into a terrible, terrible job, and what a mess. And oftentimes it was a leak or a lot of damage, and nobody else knew how to fix it. So Adam and I were kind of repair specialists, and nobody else knew even how to fix it or match it up so it fit all right. But, you know, God created those situations. And I remember that happened to me a couple of times. I'm thinking, I wish I didn't have this job. And then somebody would come along who needed to be ministered to from the Lord. And that was my job. That was my real job. Yes. Doing that repair, I got money for it. Yeah, thank you, Lord. But my real job was the person who lived in the house. And that's how we have to look at things, too. We have to look at God's job ahead of our own jobs, because God will provide for us. Look at how we were blessed in Canada. And you can't say we aren't blessed in Canada, because we're blessed here. If you are a willing vessel, the Lord will use you. People will become your friends. They will bless you. They will confide in you, and they will trust you. And that's an awesome thing when somebody gets to trust you. Go ahead, take my car. Use my tools. Where's my tools? And don't forget, you didn't do anything. You were just exercising the gift that God gave you. And trust me, you will become strong. Remember that song, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I've got all the righteousness of God. I'm going to win every battle and I'm in. Anyways, it's a pretty cool old song. And we just, Gina's snickering over here. You need to practice your gift or your gifts. And if you make a mistake, that's okay. Because even Jesus had to pray twice for a guy. He really did. Jesus had to pray twice for a guy. And if you only need to pray twice for any situation, boy, do I want you for my friend. It didn't work, and you do it again. Like, you know, prayer is so powerful. And as humans, we really do make mistakes, and we need to pray through. Lots of times, we have to pray a long time for things to happen. As I'm getting on a bit in years, I'm finding I don't have the strength I once had. That's why I'm sitting down. And other parts of my body are starting to flutter also, including my mind. I hired this nice fella over by Bob Cajun to do some work on my old car. He never answered the phone, so I left a message. And at the end of the message, I said, I love you. I didn't even know this guy. And Zita says, what did you say? Well, she started snickering and laughing. So I said, well, I can't leave that. So I had to phone him back and say, I don't really love you. Ha ha, says Zena. So, I mean, we all make mistakes.
Did he return your call?
Oh, well, I had to go to the house. He phones me back a little while. He'd never listened to the message. But I didn't know that he hadn't listened to the message. So I'm telling him this story, and his wife's standing there. And while she starts snickering like Zena. So it worked out okay. So praise the Lord. We all make mistakes. And we say things that we don't really mean sometimes. Sometimes things are said in anger. But you can't leave it. You got to go back. Because if you leave it, it will fester and it will bother you. And God's word says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Because it can ruin a relationship, and you can lose some sleep over it too. And that's really true. You must deal with it, get it behind you. And oftentimes family members get us so mad, but we usually just forgive them. You think God gave family members to practice on? I don't know, maybe he did.
The sandpaper of our lives.
Yeah, I agree. Sometimes them kids, I don't know. We have to learn how to forgive. Forgiving is so very, very important. It really, really is. Usually, after forgiving things, they resume to the way that they're supposed to be. It cleans the air. And we can oftentimes start with a fresh slate, maybe sometimes a little bit of residue, and you got to buy them coffee or take them out for dinner or something, make them feel better. But that's just the way it is. We have to forgive, especially as Christians. I can't believe that I've completed 4 hours of work in about 10 minutes here. In forgiveness is strength, and God forgave us, so we must also forgive others. It's so very, very important. Zena, I don't know if you remember, but we were at that little church in Sarnia. There was a Chinese fellow there, and I don't even remember his name. And he was very, very intelligent. And I know he came to Sarnia seeking one of the jobs there. And he wasn't around very long. And he was a very, very meek man. And I picked up on that really, really very quickly. And he was quiet too. And I often talked with him when he was around. And he really liked me. But he wasn't there very long. And I don't think he got the job that he really wanted. And so he did move on. But where he was living in an apartment or a rooming house or something. I was at his house one time. Anyways, the people that were next door to him were partying a lot. They were partiers, and when you live in an apartment building, that's not very good sometimes. Anyways, he went over and he knocked on the door and he asked him, could you please be quiet because I have to go to work tomorrow. And then he went back to his apartment. Well, the next thing you know, one of the rowdy neighbors, he's over there and he's trying to kick his door in. And all he said was, I would not do this. It will not come out good for you in the end. And the guy thought about it that was kicking in the door, realizing that he was a little Oriental guy, well, he stopped kicking in the door. And then he came to church and he told me all the situation. He says, I'm a black belt in judo and all of these different martial arts. But he was so meek, and he never bragged about that, or he never said that to anybody. But he told me about it. If that guy would have kicked his door in, he would have been looking up at the lights. But, you know, he never portrayed that he was a rough, tough guy. He was not arrogant. He was not proud. And he was a Christian. He did love the Lord. This guy so impressed me. That meekness was controlled strength, and that's exactly what it was. He knew what he had, and he didn't need to brag. And that's what we need to do with the things of the Lord. You know, controlled strength is so very, very important. It's an awesome thing to have that. You know, no matter what they say to you, go, okay. And that's what that guy was kind of doing, you know. What a nice guy he was. I don't know what ever happened to him. He was just one of the guys that comes along in your life, and then he was gone. He was a real Christian, and I was so impressed with him. I don't even remember his name now. And the happiest you will ever be is when you're giving yourself to others. Try it and see. If you're not used to going out and helping somebody, and be generous. My God, it's such a blessing to be generous. People just love it. They go, they don't believe that you're being generous to them. People can't believe it. It's not of this world. Almost to be generous. It's just not. But it is of God. Look for opportunities to be a blessing to others. And we have to be different from other people because we are. We are different. We're getting down here, kids. So because you walk with Christ, you are already different. And God's word says that he will renew your mind and often your whole being. Let God use you. After all, we are joint heirs with Christ, and we have the same goal in the end. And it takes a little while for us to get into that and to realize, hey, I'm not doing this alone. I got help here with the things that I'm doing. Remember how many years it took God to get you saved? The process can take a while sometimes. And God had to wait for me a long, long time. He knew right where I was, but it took a long time for God to get through to me that what I was doing was not right. I saw a cartoon on the internet last night, and it was about Wile E. Coyote. And he finally got the Roadrunner.
Yes!
So he's sitting there talking to another coyote, and they're sitting there having eating the Roadrunner. And the other Roadrunner says, what are you going to do now? And he goes, oh, well, I never thought about that. So the next phase, he's going downhill, and he's in a pub, and he's drinking, and he's got food all over his shirt, and he's got a scruffy beard, and he's going downhill, like, really, really fast. And then the next scene, he's even worse than that. And then the last one, him and the other coyote, they're sitting at a table again, and he says, what'd you call me for? He says, well, you ever heard of Jesus Christ? I thought it was just pretty cool. I did have to snicker about it.
No, it would be the Christians that wanted the old runner pot.
He sent people across your path so you could know just how Jesus Christ is. Jesus is alive. And he is not dead. He is alive. And, you know, a lot of Christians, a lot of kids, they think Jesus, they don't think too much about Jesus. But he's not dead. And Easter is not about chocolate eggs and presents. And that's why I kind of think that way a little bit. But that's the world's view on things now. They think about the presents at Christmas and the chocolate at Easter. And, you know, I mean, they're stealing the things of the Lord with presents and chocolates, in one sense of the matter. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. And if we don't do what he asks, then he'll find someone else. And that's not good. You don't want somebody stealing your job. Yeah, he was here, but he didn't do a very good job, so we had to hire somebody else. I run into that a lot. I run into situations where I have to go fix up other guys' messes all the time. And we don't want that on our record with the Lord. We want to do what God has called us to do and given us the gifts to accomplish that stuff. And he'll even supply the money and everything we need. And sometimes it doesn't come until right up the day before you're going to need it or the day that you do need that. But God will always provide for us. He always does it. Brother Joe Prasad's church, Zena was talking to him a few weeks ago here, and that church is growing so bad, now they're having to have double morning services. That's absolutely amazing. That really is amazing. And there's like 30 different ethnic organizations or countries that go to that little church. It is a pretty fun place to go to, and especially potluck. Like, they have the best potluck. They really, really do. And they all dressed up in their garb, and like those African ladies, boy, they know how to dress, the hats, and they're just so colorful. And do they ever have a good time? They're singing and dancing. They love the Lord so much. And it's predominantly a black church, and so when they having a party, they having a really big party. They really know how to have a fun. And it's really fun to go there. We should just head down there sometime, and I'll tell you, they'll put you right in the front row, and they'll just love you. They just look right after you. It's a pretty cool old church. God has given you specific gifts and talents, and you need to find out what yours is. You might not be comfortable teaching or preaching, but you only need a little bit of practice. You know, you can practice on the dog or the cat or something. There's always some place that you can practice.
Your spouse.
Your spouse, yeah. Your critic, your best critic. See this Bible, this one right here? We need to teach it and to preach it and for people to learn what's in here. This place is the University of God. It really is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, God sends out graduates from this place to bring other people so that they can know who the Lord is. And this is a good place to practice. If God gives you a word, I want to hear what God has to say to this little church. I really do. God's and the presence of God and the things of God, they do flow through this church. We are the sheep, and we need to be fed with the fresh grass from God's word. We really need the fresh grass, fresh word from God. It is very important. And we're going to make mistakes because we are human beings. And when you make a mistake and you just laugh about it, you laugh at yourself. And when you're like that and you're honest with what you do and how you are, people really, really like you. And if you can laugh at yourself, they like you just for being yourself. Because people feel comfortable with you. They really do feel comfortable with you. And they can let their guard down. And the next thing you know, they're talking to you. And they're telling you things that they just don't talk to everybody about. I remember Val talking about that stuff that he had to go through when he was a little kid. Like, what a story that was, that guy that was from the Ukraine. Like, that's an amazing story. And all because Val figures that his mom looked after the Jews, and so God looked after them. So you look after God's people, and God's going to look after you. He really does. He really, really does. And if God has opened a door to pull you in a little, they need you to help them find Christ. And that's what these gifts of God's are all about, is so that we can minister to other people and help them find an inroad to Christ. And it doesn't always have to be at a church. You can start out, have a barbecue at your house or whatever you want to do. Barbecues are good. I mean, we got Bob Howell and all his family here just because we had a barbecue at our house years ago, a long time ago. I got to know some really, really cool people just having a barbecue. How do you tell a man his house is on fire? I think there's a fire in your house. You're excited. You're going to pound on that door, and you're going to throw rocks through the windows, and you're going to be excited, and you're going to kick in that door. If you think somebody's in there, you're just not going to stand out there and give a mealy a little knock on the door, say, well, I tried to get you up, but there was nobody there. You're going to try to get into that house and let people know that your house is on fire, man. We need to have a little more of this attitude when it does come to the things of the Lord. It really is true. We need to be more diligent. 1 Corinthians 2:15 says, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." Wow, we smell good to the Lord. And that's because we are Christ-like. In a situation, any situation, you are not alone, and the Holy Spirit is with you. And that fragrance of Christ, that's in you. God has given you that fragrance, and he loves that, and he loves you. And like I said before, we are the hands and the feet of Christ. And God will have us walk into situations, and you go, like I said, I don't really want to be here, but this is where I am. As you walk up to people, you bring with you the light of Christ. As you walk up, they will stop cursing, and their attitude can change just because you walk up towards them. Zena, do you remember Ernie and Gail? Remember Brian down in the Sunny Reserve? I remember after, I don't know whether you ever heard that story, you probably did, but we were going out and handing out all these tracts. We did it forever and ever and ever. We gave out 100,000 tracts, our little church, I think. We went down to the reserve because we had a native couple going to our little church, and so we wanted to go and minister on the reserve. So we walked, I think, through that, a good part of that reserve, handing out tracts and everything. And this one little cul-de-sac that Brian and I and somebody else, I don't remember who it was. Anyways, we went into this little cul-de-sac, and there was a group of Native guys standing there, and there was one guy. He was a big guy. He was about 6'5", or he was huge, and they were drinking beers and having a good time. And what are you guys doing here? Oh, well, we come to hand out some tracts to invite you over to our church. We already got a church. We don't need them. And so I says, well, we're going to do it anyways. Okay. So we went and we put them tracts in all those little houses all the way around that little cul-de-sac. And Brian went walking up to this one house, and there was a white picket fence there, and there's a little doggy there. And Brian goes, hi, little doggy. And he walked in, and he closed the gate, and the dog bit him right in the back. But, you know, one of the tracks that we left at one of them houses, Gail was her name, she was going to commit suicide. She'd had enough. Her husband was drinking and partying all the time, and they had a practically brand new house, but they didn't care. That was just how they did things. She was going to commit suicide, and then the Holy Spirit reminded her about that little track. So she ticked that track out, and she read it, and they came to church, and they came to our church for years and years and years and years just because of that one little track. Yeah. And they were wonderful people. Ernie, too, he came to church all the time, and the kids, we played baseball. So, it cost Brian a little bite, but praise the Lord. It healed.
That's right. Long way from his heart.
Yeah, that's right. As you approach, they sometimes whisper, oh no, here they come. And because, see, you are different. You are different. But the Holy Spirit is in you, and the Holy Spirit is also with you. God's word also says that we must be slow to speak and quick to listen. One thing about people who talk a lot, they use a lot of words, but oftentimes they don't say very much. That's really, really true. I've just noticed that in my time. We need to use God's word to help people because it causes people to accept God's word or reject God's word. But they do have to think about it. God's word is a double-edged sword, and if you quote scripture to somebody, they have to think about it. They do not have any choice, and think about it. God's word, that's just how it is. It is so powerful. And they have to say, no, I don't want to do it, or yes, I am going to do it. But they do have to think about it. It's just God's word. That's the way it is. It is just so powerful. It cuts like a double-edged sword, and that's exactly what God's word says, and it does do that. And we must let the Holy Spirit do his part as we minister to people. You have the easiest part. You just have to show up and be there and be available. And you might think it's hard, but it's not. Once you get used to doing it and you get used to walking along with God and the Holy Spirit, it does get easier. And it gets to the point where if they don't want to hear it, just like I said before, then they're just going to say, no thanks, I don't really want any slam, and they'll slam the door on you. Get used to that. You know what? I remember walking around and passing out tracts and stuff, and every once in a while you would come to somebody that was so receptive. And it just made 2 days of knocking on doors so worth it. Some little old lady or some guy that just needed to have somebody to talk to them, invite them out, and that's what our job is. It's not always an easy job, but somebody's got to do it, and God chose us to do it. And so we need to do our job, and we need to take it to heart and do it diligently. I thank the Lord for Mickey. She's in a tough situation. She doesn't get to do what she really needs to do, but if she has the opportunity, she does do it. And they love her for it. They love Mick for the Christ that is in her. That's what they're seeing. Mick's personality and the presence of the Lord in her life make her so approachable. Her kids love her. She's like their mom. Kind of. It usually took a person that you're going to pray for or whom the Lord brings along years and years and years to get into the terrible situation that they're in. And Brian gets to minister and pray for these people sometimes. And if you happen to be the first one on the scene, just because you maybe perhaps get to be the first one to pray with them, you're not going to heal their problems or fix their situations just in praying for them one or two times. It took years and years and years to get them where they are. You have to learn how to back them out of there. And I doubt very much that these problems can be solved just praying for them one time. It just usually can't happen. And remember that you are the fragrance of Christ. And wherever you go, the Holy Spirit is with you, and God is with you wherever you go, and he will bless you, and he will help you to minister to people. The things of the Lord are just awesome and precious things. I want you not to forget to pray for your mechanic. You don't have to tell him you love him, but he probably saved your life in your car a few times. And so, anyways, that's it for me. Praise the Lord.
You know, it's great to be reminded of some of the real important and basic lessons that that we learn and relearn, and just as Terry was talking, a lot of thoughts, a lot of memories of things that we've done, tried to do. Some of them worked out, some of them didn't, and you just try again. And we do that in other parts of life. Why would we not do that with our Christian faith? When my younger brother and I were little and my mom was watching Rex Humbard, we also kind of ran out of the room. We called him Rex Humbug, and we did not want to have anything to do with that. But in the proper season, God got a hold of us.
Rex Humbard was the guy that led me to the
Yeah, he did a lot of things that probably heaven will only tell what impact he had, and not just him, but many others. A lot of seed gets thrown out there, and some of it brings a harvest, and others seems to go by the wayside. And we were told that, to expect that. And when people do make mistakes, and we all do, that was important to mention that we just forgive and move forward. And forgiveness, and I have to tell people about that, because people have a concept, especially not only Christians, but a lot of people outside the church have this concept that forgiveness means you're supposed to be all good with what they did. And that you have to wait until you feel real warm and fuzzy before you can do that. The most effective forgiveness happens when you're still upset with what the person did, and you'd strangle them if there weren't any restraints on your activities. And you make a choice, a conscious choice. And when you forgive somebody, what you're doing is saying, I give my right of getting even, if we want to call it that, to God. I hand that over to God, and I said, God, you take care of it. This person did something, said something, it upset me, it upset somebody that I care about, and I'm really upset right now, but I choose to give that to you, God. You take care of it, because you do it so much better than we do. And the feelings catch up. When we can release that and give it to God, then after a while you get that, gee, they're not such a bad guy or such a bad person. We move forward. And then we can go for that coffee or have that dinner. But it starts with a choice. Every day we make a choice to serve God, make a choice to love others as we would want to be loved. Risk getting bit by a dog to put one more track in somebody's mailbox or one more message out there. Maybe we don't do it that way now, but there's always ways in which that word gets out there. Whatever works in your world. Pokemon Go. Yeah. So what you catching out there today? Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the word that was shared. Lord, allow those thoughts and those concepts that come from your word and from living and knowing you, encourage us and lift us and help us to continue to reach out to others. We ask for your blessing on each person that's here for the remainder of this day and in the week to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.